Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Discerning Daughters podcast, where sisters in Christ discuss the Word of God together and how its principles apply to our lives today. I'm Rachel, and I'm so excited to learn together. Let's get started. Hi, welcome back to Discerning Daughters, and Happy New Year. I hope and pray that everyone found some time to relax at the end of what was a crazy year, and also to refocus and press on towards our high calling for this coming year. Today's episode is about social media. We've discussed it a little bit before on an early episode about contentment, but after a year of social isolation for most listeners, and perhaps even a grown dependency on social media, I thought it was a topic worth considering again. If you're a listener who already doesn't use social media, then feel free to skip over this episode, as I'll do my best to offer some scriptural guidelines and some warnings to heed as social media users. But if you're not using it, I'm not going to be trying to persuade you to do so by any means. Also, as I share some of the lessons I've learned, please know that I myself am a work in progress and know I have room for improvement with my own relationship with social media. I just hope that some of these thoughts are helpful to you and your walk to the kingdom. So I turned 30 at the end of last year, and if you're somewhere around my age, then you were also hitting adolescence when social media and instant messaging really was becoming popular. It was something that I grew up with that has changed the world we live in. I remember for a brief 2 years in middle school, I actually got home before my siblings and would race to turn the internet on and have it dial up, and then get so mad if one of them snuck home and got on the computer by the time it was finally ready to use. But I remember instant messaging and emailing my friends from CYC weekends, staying in touch with them, and it was much more easily done through the internet. It was a really helpful way to build and maintain friendships in the truth growing up. On the inverse, I also remember getting in trouble by my parents for clicking too much and maybe getting into shadier parts of the internet, because really all of this was pretty new back then. But now the internet and the growth of social media through it has fundamentally changed the world we live in. For those born before me, you probably recognize the impact that social media has had on the world. For those born after me, maybe it's been such a normal part of your life, you really haven't given it too much thought. Regardless of where you fall, I think it's beneficial for us all to consider some scriptural teachings we can apply to our social media use. The first lesson I'd like to consider are some buzzwords from social media, which have pretty spiritual applications. On both Facebook and Instagram, the content that users share is called posts, which the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines as something like a message that is published online. Well, what biblical word does message make you think of? How about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God? As followers of Christ, this should be the primary message we share with the people in our lives. In fact, in the Christian church, they dub this as the Great Commission, which you may even have as the heading in your Bible when Christ speaks to his disciples before his ascension to heaven. He says to them in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." So this is the first point to consider about social media, and before we publish our own posts or messages. Do they fall in line with our Great Commission? Do they oppose it? I'm not sure if Facebook still calls users' profiles their walls, but maybe posts on a wall makes you think about the verse in Deuteronomy 6, where it reads, "And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So again, these verses reinforce the importance that it's God's word we should be posting, and beyond that, that we should be teaching and talking about as the forefront of what's on our minds. So If we're using social media to share and encourage one another with the Word of God, it can actually be a really beneficial way to edify one another. I know some sisters that have made a more intentional effort recently to share lessons they've gleaned from Bible study and to make their accounts more God-centered, which I have found so helpful. There's also a brother from New York who I follow that shares multiple Bible verses every day. Another really great account is the Bond of Peace in Christ, which is an Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook account, which main mission is to get us thinking and talking about the Word of God, and in particular, focusing on some difficult but important conversational topics. There's also the Faithfully Laura account on Instagram, which is run by Sister Laura DeCawson, which she uses to share encouragement through Bible journaling and other ways to get us thinking about God's Word. Another really awesome use for social media is for preaching. I know some of you may be hesitant to connect with people outside the truth on your pages, but I will get into that a little bit later. For me, though, I find social media to be one of the easiest ways to share my faith and hope for this world. But regardless of your personal accounts, through Facebook, Instagram, and even podcasts, we can really get the Word of God out into the world. Door-to-door preaching is getting less and less effective in this world we live in, especially after this past year. But with online messages or classes, users can read content or tune in from the comfort of their own homes. My ecclesia has had a public talk once a month designed around a current event or outreach topic, and what's really neat is while a public lecture at the hall may only fall upon the ears of those sitting in the audience, when it's recorded and shared online, it can continue to spread and reach those around us. Another major benefit of social media is its ability to connect us with friends and loved ones when we're not together. As I shared, growing up, this was really meaningful for me to connect with and grow closer with my friends who did not go to my CYC. And of course, after this past year, it was really our only way to connect with a lot of people. But even before last year, I remember being in the newborn stage with my daughter and so appreciating the online community I found with other moms. Not just friends who had kids, but also groups dedicated to new moms. Even breastfeeding. I also joined one for insomnia, which I really struggled with after having my daughter. In the middle of the night, on days when I felt really lonely and isolated, I found comfort in these communities. And these groups really exist for any part of your life you may find yourself or struggle you may be going through, such as support for anxiety and depression, support for nurses, victims of abuse or assault, support for weight loss, support for even learning a new language or instrument. And if you don't already know, there's a group for Christadelphian Bible study. Really, this is just some random topics, but any topic you think of, it probably exists. And of course, with some of these, I would caution you may also want to seek professional help, which is totally okay to do. And also, don't forget to also connect with your real friends as well, which is a good segue into the next buzzwords, friends and followers. These are huge terms. These are terms that have been given to people we connect with on social media. And again, both have huge spiritual implications. As Bible students, what verses do these words bring to mind? Followers may remind you of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he instructs them, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Excuse me. Or what about John 15, where Christ says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Christ calls his friends those who follow his commands, which earlier we know is to love God with our whole heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Maybe on the inverse, you also thought of the scripture in James. "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God." It might make you think twice about who you connect with on social media and how they influence you. And it's a personal choice you will have to make. For me, I see social media accounts as an extension, or perhaps even a better word, a little snapshot of my life. And I don't believe that believers were called to live in a bubble and only interact with other believers. Again, we're meant to preach, to share our faith, to be lights to this dark world around us. So for me, and it's okay if it's different for you, I do connect with those who do not share my faith online because it's one really easy way that I can share my faith. And one of the amazing things about most platforms that I know of is that you can now mute or unfollow people, but still be connected to them. So you have the power to influence them, but you don't necessarily have to see their posts unless you intentionally go looking for them. It is worth considering, though, who we actually follow and what content we see. As I mentioned in the contentment episode, there are whole accounts designed to be influencers with the goals of preaching their message to us or getting us to buy their products. Considering the word post again, would the posts that we scroll through on these accounts be those that we would feel comfortable printing out and posting throughout our houses? Interestingly enough, Facebook now asks you when you're making a post, what's on your mind, in the text box to type in. And I think that the best scripture to guide what we post ourselves and the content we follow answers this question in Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Although we may not be thinking about only the Word of God 24/7, Scripture still offers us these general principles for what it is okay to dwell our thoughts on. And I think we can extend this to our social media accounts. Perhaps a post of your family or friends or even a picture from a recent hike may not directly preach the gospel message or share a Bible verse, but I think it's okay if it still follows and does not break from these scriptural principles. So far we've mostly considered some of the benefits of social media, but I think it's really important to also consider some of the dangers it could have or negative impacts. As with anything in this world since the fall of the Garden of Eden, social media presents all the dangers of the flesh, which 1 John 2 says are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is where we have to be really introspective and honest with ourselves. What are our real motivations for posting something? Or how is what we're scrolling through really affecting us? Although in the grand scheme of things, social media is relatively new, there have already been studies that showed some negative impacts it can have on users. There's a BBC article from 2018 that is called "Is Social Media Bad for You? The Evidence and the Unknowns," and I'll just highlight some of the findings that it presented, but feel free to read it on your own time too. One study found that participants reported lower moods after using Facebook for 20 minutes compared to those who just browsed randomly on the internet. Other studies found that social media could be linked to the increase of anxiety and depression. One study found it could be linked to worsened or disrupted sleep. Another found that social media can actually become an addiction. Other studies found that it can lower your self-esteem. And again, more studies found it could increase feelings of envy, jealousy, and even loneliness. So again, although it's relatively new and some of these studies had mixed results, and they also really depended on the user and how they use social media, as well as how often they used it. But thankfully, this is something that we can control, and I'll share some of the methods I found to be useful as well as some that were shared with me. Perhaps my biggest battle with social media has been the time I spend on it. My phone reports screen time for each app at the end of the day, and there have been days I've cringed at how long I've mindlessly spent scrolling through my feed. And it's not just social media. Our phones themselves can be highly addictive, and we can waste time on them even without social media. A sister last year publicly shared her struggle with phone addiction and some ways she could fight it. I think honesty and acknowledgement are great first steps because although good can come from our phones, they can also be detrimental to those around us. The sister shared a really interesting article from health.com, which is called 7 Scary Things You Never Knew About Cell Phone Addiction, which is worth a read when you have a minute. Not only can social media or cell phone addiction waste our time, but it can really impact those around us. Have you ever been hanging out with someone who is constantly on or checking their phone? It makes you feel less valued. If you're a parent, If we're always on our phones instead of being present or engaged with our children, what are we teaching to them? Or how is the use of our phones affecting our relationships with our spouses? These are all questions we should really think about. I heard it suggested that if you're hanging out with someone and they keep checking their phone, you should ask them, "So, who are you hanging out with?" Which is kind of a funny way to let them know that you're feeling a bit neglected. If you notice that you're the one who's picking up or checking your phone instinctively at times you don't need to be, you can limit your time on apps and lock yourself out of them. If you're really serious, you can have someone you live with set a passcode that only they know and can type in if you really need to get on something once you've reached the limit for the day. Another way I found to check myself on how mindlessly I can just open an app and start scrolling through it is simply by changing the location of where it is on my home screen, putting it in a different folder or hiding it somewhere. I would instinctively find myself just tapping through only to realize it wasn't there and that I was looking for it without even consciously knowing it. Another method I found helpful is to turn off all notifications from my social media accounts. I only can see them if I open the app, and I'm not as tempted to open them and spend time on them otherwise. You can also just leave your phone in a different room. One study found that participants were less engaged and listening in a conversation just by having their phone in their sight. Another thing I've tried is not opening social media apps for the first or last hour of my day, which I found helps me to prepare my mind spiritually for the day or wind down for a more restful evening at the end of it. Another thing you could try doing is to text or reach out to your friends or family before posting something. Is the reason we're sharing something just because we feel the need for connection? Sometimes a text or a FaceTime is more meaningful and helpful than just a post. Another danger of social media is having false perceptions of people, or even falling into the sin of judgment. If you haven't already, I highly recommend reading the book Given Grace by Jason Hensley, which discusses the subject of judgment more in depth and how it affects our discipleship and relationships with those around us. Because if you see someone's post and automatically assume their motive, oh, they're just posting that because they're so prideful about how good looking they are, or they just want to show off what a nice house they have, I could never afford it, nor would I even want to. Or they're only posting that photo of their relationship because they want to rub it in that they're not single anymore. And it goes on and on. Admittedly, I've even had thoughts like these myself plenty of times. But the reality is, when I'm assuming someone's motive, I'm more likely projecting my own jealousy, insecurities, or covetousness upon them, which is really my issue and not theirs. So even if someone's content might not be negative or sinful per se, if it's affecting you this way, causing you to sin, you might also want to consider muting them until you are in a better place spiritually. And this is especially true for women, and especially true for young girls whose studies have shown can have their self-esteems hugely affected by seeing others on social media. Not only comparing how much likes or followers they have with others, it could even lead to body dysmorphia and depression. So whether you're a parent of a young girl or have had these struggles yourself, it's okay to acknowledge it and to seek a way out. Genesis tells us that God made us all good, which is the Hebrew word tov, which means beautiful. So if social media is making it difficult for us to remember God's love for each of us and that we are created in His image, then perhaps a break would be a good idea. Additionally, if there are groups or people that have the tendency to start debating and getting into keyboard wars online with others, maybe they're also someone we should unfollow, considering the words of Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Not only can silly online arguments get us riled up and emotional, they also almost never actually lead to a resolution or the changing of anyone's mind. There's a reason scripture tells us to go to our brother when we find a fault instead of sending them a message online. Written text can be read to be misconstrued with the wrong tone or meaning, so it's important for us to always consider what we're sharing before we publish it for the whole world to see. We can get lost in the social media world even when we do limit our screen time. So taking a break or a hiatus is another helpful way I found to be more present in my life and with those around me, whether for a few days or even longer. You could delete the app from your phones and just notice the difference you feel. And if it's that much of a weight that's been lifted, perhaps there's no need to return. Ultimately, with social media and anything that we can control being in our lives, we must ask ourselves, is it helping or hurting our walk to the kingdom? Maybe it's really neither here nor there, just another thing we have in our life, which again, I think it's okay as long as we're staying in line with the guidelines of Philippians 4 and not falling into the sins of excess, covetousness, envy, etc. As with anything we do, it ultimately comes down to our reflection and introspection and relationship with the Lord Jesus. So what has worked for you? I'd love to hear if you have any tips on how you've been able to better manage your social media use or ways you found it more edifying. I know there's more that could be said, whether by scripture or from citing additional studies and their findings. So I'll end by sharing some content I found helpful regarding social media. If you're a parent or even hope to be a parent someday, definitely listen to the series by Brother Ben Pitcher called Growing Godly Families. The whole series is awesome, but he has an entire class dedicated to social media. In his family, they had a joint account that his kids could access to stay in touch with long-distance friends, and it wasn't until they reached a certain age that they had their own accounts. He mostly uses Proverbs to set some godly principles for users and for parents to set boundaries for their own children. Another awesome series that touches on social media use is Classic Lessons for Modern Challenges by Brother Mike Livermore, which is also really worth a listen when you get the time. On the A Little Faith podcast, Laura DeCausen, who I mentioned earlier as the Instagram account Faithfully Laura, shares some of her own lessons from social media and how she learned to be more intentional with it, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're just more interested in social media and how it affects us, definitely watch the documentary called Social Dilemma. It goes into great detail from some of the people who were the frontier developers on companies like Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. And it shares how they grab and hold our attention and why we should really question everything we read online rather than take it for the truth. I already was aware of targeted advertising and some of these negative things on social media, but it really opened my eyes to how invasive and even dangerous it can be. So I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you do have an Instagram account, you can follow Discerning Daughters Now, where I share info about the podcast. And I also just try to share day-to-day encouragement and verses. As always, please reach out if you have any thoughts from today's episode, because I'd love to hear from you. And as a housekeeping note, if I haven't already mentioned this, I don't honestly remember if I did, we are expecting our second baby sometime mid-March, God willing. So I'm hoping to get another episode out before then, but if not, there may be a hiatus for a bit. So as always, if you or someone you know has something they'd like to share on the podcast, please let me know, because I'd love to keep it going consistently, even if it's not me sharing. Lots of love to you all, and God bless. Do you have a question or comment about today's episode? Send me an email at discerningdaughters@gmail.com. I also really encourage you to send me topics that you think would be helpful for women to listen to. Thanks again.